Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/decide. That's linkedin.com/decide. Terms and conditions apply.
Chris McMonagle. Sports Radio 101.9 FM. The Fan. WFAN.
What an incredible night. What an incredible night. What a game. My God, how do you follow that? An incredible Game 7. This Nets season comes to an end as they lose to the Bucks in 7, 115-111. Heartbreak. Heartbreak for Net fans as this team that was the Big 3, the super team that could not be beat, the team everybody hated, the team everybody was rooting against, the team that became the villains of the NBA. Barkley doesn't want them to win. Nobody wants them to win, except for obviously Net fans who watch this team all year long deal with injuries, whether it be Durant, whether it be Kyrie, whether it be Harden. Every one of them had long stretches of injuries, and obviously injuries lead them to this point where they are not at full strength for this series against the Bucks. Harden playing out there, limping around, Kyrie out with an ankle, and Durant playing absolute Superman, playing every minute of damn near every game and giving it everything he had. Just an incredible effort, but it was not enough in Game 7 against the Milwaukee Bucks. They come up an inch short, a big toe short of winning this game in regulation, and they had every opportunity to win this game. There is no question about it. Every opportunity to win this game, because the Bucks came out in the first half and had nothing going on from Middleton, nothing going on from Holiday. They were playing awful. Lopez hit a couple of threes, but they were playing awful to start this game. They got nothing from except from Giannis and Lopez. They got absolutely nothing. And the Nets were the far superior team for the entire first half and were only up 6. And I thought right then and there that was trouble. They were talking about it at the half with Barkley and Shaq. I completely agreed. This game was way too close at half for my liking, the way the Nets were playing, the way the Bucks were playing. And there were multiple times in this game where you thought it was just going to get away from the Bucks. And the Nets had the big moments, but they just kept fighting back. The big one to me is 90, with 5 minutes left, Durant has a play where he gets the ball knocked out of his hand. It's almost a steal. It gets bobbled around back to him. He gets the dunk and the foul to put them up 96-91 with 5 minutes left. And that is the kind of moment that I thought this game was going to turn around. It was going to be the end of the Bucks. But then you get the big-time performance from Holiday from that moment. Holiday, who was brought to this Bucks team to keep Giannis on this team, who was brought here to make him sign that contract to keep this team together, and he was awful all series. Awful all series, awful all game, and he comes through down the stretch and hits shot after shot to get them back into the game, to get them to take the lead, and then Durant plays superhero at the end of regulation to send this game into overtime with an incredible shot, an absolute incredible shot that he just has his finger on the line, his foot on the line, and sends them to overtime. I don't know what the Bucks are doing at the end of the game regulation. Lopez lost his mind, lost his train of thought, lost where the clock was, gives the Nets that opportunity to hit that shot, send the game into overtime. You weren't sure how Durant was going to handle it. Is he going to go to the basket and try to get to the line, go to the basket and try and tie the game? Or does he shoot the three. You knew he was going to get the ball. He has this fadeaway shot, just has his foot on the line to send it into overtime. An incredible atmosphere at the game, which was incredible all night long. And, you know, if I could take a second for that, this is what we live for here in New York. Tonight with the Islanders as well, and we'll get into them with a Game 4 win to tie that series up with Tampa Bay 2-2. But the New York was the center of the universe tonight. The only NHL game, the only NBA game, packed houses, the incredible atmosphere for both these games, the counting of the foul shots with Giannis every time at the line, an incredible, incredible atmosphere at both buildings, center of the universe. I mean, if you think about where we were a year ago, where we were when we were just getting our sports back into our lives, starting the year with no fans in any of these buildings, to end it here on the Saturday before Father's Day, to have both of these buildings rocking, to have the Nets have a horrible, deflating, miserable, sickening loss in front of an entire packed-filled building that was trying to lift them through these injuries, was just incredible. It was so much fun to watch. And as they head into overtime, the Nets again, after that shot, you figure there is no way they're losing that game. The Nets hit that shot. KD hits that shot. And there is no way the Nets are going to lose. There is just no way. And they head into overtime, and it sure looks that way. They come out flat. Does Milwaukee. They have three possessions that are just awful. The Nets come down and get offensive rebound after offensive rebound, something that killed them all game. If you look at the rebound differential, that was the one thing keeping the Milwaukee Bucks in the game, was their ability to get second shots off of offensive rebounds, whether it was Lopez or Middleton or whomever getting big rebounds. They were keeping them in the game because they were out shooting and out rebounding on the offensive boards. And what was killing them all game should have won them the game in overtime. They get multiple opportunities off of rebounds at the start of overtime. They should have been up 6 to 8 points after 2 minutes in OT. Instead, all they get is the one Brown offensive rebound and put back. And then the play of the game. Obviously, the play of the game, and pretty much what you can turn to as the defining, you know, moment and the defining realization of what else is around the big three in Joe Harris. Because Joe Harris was awful all series long. He had a pretty good game one. Besides that, he was terrible. For a man who led the league in 3-point percentage, he came up so small in this series, it's hard to fathom. It's hard to fathom. And I know Net fans and everybody's clamoring to trade him. This is it. You can't bring him back. How could he give you that performance in this series when all you really need is a little bit of something from the supporting cast? That's all you needed. Durant scores 48, the most points ever in NBA history for a Game 7. He's heroic through Game 5, what he was able to do for this team, and through Game 7, playing every minute, hitting every big shot, hitting the game-tying shot at the end of regulation to send it to overtime, doing everything he possibly can, and you just needed a little bit of something from the surrounding cast, the supporting cast. And with Harden playing it at, you know, half speed, unable to really, you know, have that kind of fast break offense, get into quick sets, unable to lead the team that way, really didn't play great defense, you know, a three-pointer off the backboard, but that's about it. He did not help you that much in this game. He was far better in Game 6 than he was in Game 7. But the moment where Durant goes to the basket and gets blocked by Lopez, and the ball finds its way to Harris for a wide-open three, and he clanks it. That was a defining moment for the series. It summed up the entire series. The big three were unable to perform except for Durant. He put on the Superman cape, did everything he could. He just needed a little bit from Harris, who makes $70 million, who signed a $70 million contract, who all year long was the guy they could count on for three-pointers, was the guy who led the league, was shooting 48% from three, outrageous numbers, had this incredible season. Evan calls him an OG, an original net, someone who was always there for this team, came up so small and had an opportunity to put a dagger into the heart of the Bucks, and he missed it. And he missed it. And it's heartbreak for a team that was supposed to win. It's heartbreak for a team that had no excuse not to get to an Eastern Conference final against what will be either a flawed Hawk team or a Philadelphia team that's banged up. You got one of their best players has a knee problem, and the other one doesn't want to shoot in the fourth quarter. You firmly believe the way that series is going, that the winner of this series has an excellent chance and will be the favorite to move on to the NBA Finals with the way Philly's playing. This was an opportunity to win this game. This was an opportunity to overcome the injuries. They just needed a little bit from Harris. They just needed a little bit. They needed really one shot. He hit his first shot of the night, and then there was nothing from him. He's been putrid all series. He came up so small. And you could see it at the end of the game. And you know what? You got to give credit to the Bucks. You got to give credit to Giannis, who, look, he's a great player. He's an MVP player. He gets to the basket at will sometimes. But he had moments in this series, whether it be, you know, one-on-one and on Harden in Game 5 and going to a fadeaway jump shot, whether it be his air balls at the foul line. For a great player to shoot foul shots like that, to have to go through the process he goes through, to be affected by the crowd, although there was a stretch where he hit about 7 of 8. But the crowd chanting down, you know, from 1 to 10, him having moments where he's shooting air balls at the foul line, backing off, taking jump shots, shooting a lot of threes. He didn't shoot a three in Game 6. It seemed like he came out early in this game and wanted to, you know, change that. Shot a lot of threes, hit a couple, but he should get to the basket much more. He's a great player. He scored 40 tonight. He did enough to win this game. But really, down the stretch of this game, Holiday, you got to give him credit because he was having a brutal series. He was having a brutal night. And after that play I mentioned, after the what looked like a turnover finds its way back to Durant for a dunk and the foul shot puts them up 5, 96-91. Holiday comes right down the court and hits a 3. I thought that was going to be a momentum. I thought that was going to be, at that moment, I said, there's no way the Nets are losing. And Holiday comes right back with a 3, starts playing better, him and Middleton getting baskets, and they were able, the supporting cast around Giannis were able to get them through this game and get them through this series and get them this Game 7 win. And the Nets had no answers besides KD. And that's what happens when you have a super team and the guys get hurt and they're unable to go. And you got Harden, who's doing his best out there. I'll give him credit. He's talking after the game. It's pretty much a grade 2. I don't have any other time to test it, but in the game, he wasn't great. He wasn't even good, but you give him a break because of the hamstring. Kyrie, obviously, a gruesome. You knew the second you saw the replay that he was not going to play again this series. But Durant did everything he could. And look, for a guy who's much maligned, who everyone knows is a great player, Giannis is calling him the greatest player on the planet. That's been thrown around a lot, and it's hard to argue watching him play. But he's also someone who went to Golden State, got a lot of flack for taking the easy way out. It's clear now through different stories, even stories about his father talking to the Knicks, that he did not want to come to the Knicks and have that added pressure. Someone who just wants to come to the court, ball, go home, doesn't want the added pressure. A guy who doesn't care about legacy. All the talk you've heard about Durant. Took the easy way out and went to Golden State, to the team that beat him. Didn't want, you know, wants to join the great players, not beat the great players, which is something you've heard a lot, obviously, more than just him around the NBA here. But for certainly for him, he gets a lot of flack for that. What you saw from him in Game 5 and Game 7 of this series should leave no doubt about what kind of player Kevin Durant is. I don't care whether he wants the spotlight of the Knicks and the Garden, or whether he wants to just play with the certain kind of guys he sees himself getting better with, whether he's worried more about just improving as a basketball player as opposed to winning, or whatever the stories are, how many burner accounts he has on Twitter, or anything else. When you put those performances together, when your team needs you, when the two other guys you came here to win a championship can't perform, and you have to be the guy who goes out there, coming off an Achilles heel injury, coming off all the load management throughout the year, the injuries, really not playing that much this year, through all of it. When you needed to be the guy, when he needed to step up, that's exactly what he did, and he performed brilliantly. There should never be another question. I don't care if he decides to leave Brooklyn, if he joins with another team, if he's chasing championships somewhere else, or wants to go play with this one or that one. Whatever happens for the rest of Kevin Durant's career, he left no doubt in these two games that he is one of the greatest scorers to ever touch a basketball. He's a clutch performer, and he's worth every penny and every headache or any problem he gives you because of the ability he has to completely dominate a game and to hit incredible shots with incredible clutch to take over a team, to take over a game, to be the one guy out there who can do anything, to play every single minute, to play defense, to force jump balls and rebounds against Brook Lopez, everything he does. He's out there to win that basketball game. He gives everything. It's an incredible performance. I feel bad for him falling short, but you got to give credit to the Bucks, their coach, Giannis, a team that has struggled to get out of this round, their first time in the Eastern Conference Finals, a team that did not have the same kind of regular season they've had the last handful of years. And it looked like after the first two games of this series, they were going to make short work of this series. But thankfully for them, there was the injury to Kyrie. But still, they had to beat the best player on the planet. And they had to do it in his building on Game 7. In a series that the home team never lost. They had to change that format. That was just... And it's tough to do that. It's tough to go into a building in Game 7. It's tough to win an overtime in Game 7. This was an incredible win. And you got to feel good for Giannis. You got to feel good for the Bucks. And they have a very good chance to win this next series, whoever it is, Hawks or Philadelphia. But for Net fans, they don't care about that. They're just feeling miserable. I know Evan right now is just feeling miserable. I feel for him. It's got to be to lose that game in overtime after KD hits that shot to send you to OT. Everything about this team, all the excitement you had all year, whether however you felt about the Harden trade, you hated it at first, you loved it at first, whatever the case, they were able to really continue to play good basketball through the injuries. Immediately, Harden changed his game to fit this team. You never really felt like it wouldn't work. It was just a matter of have they played enough together to be cohesive throughout the playoffs? Would they stay healthy throughout the playoffs? And the answer was no. The answer was no. Now, they're all under contract. There's no reason they won't be back next year. You never know. But as Chris and Tim were telling you, this is a window. And you expect them to be back next year and make a run at this thing, but... As the season ends for the new Brooklyn Nets, as this season of great promise, this season where it was finally all supposed to come together after watching KD sign with your team and never playing a game for a year, after Kyrie starts the year, you know, taking time off to, you know, help himself mentally or whatever, you know, recharge the batteries, whatever he needed at the start of the year. You make the trade for Harden. You're one of the more talented offensive teams to ever play basketball. You're dealing with injuries throughout the whole year. They just get healthy for the start of the playoffs. Game one, Harden pulls a hamstring. And then Kyrie goes out with a gruesome ankle injury. and you figure this thing is over, but KD gave you just enough to give you the hope that you were going to move on to the next round, move on to the Eastern Conference Finals with an incredible shot. And unfortunately, he comes up just a bit short on the final shot. Now, I know a lot of people are talking about, should Nash have called a timeout there at the end of the game? You got about 8 seconds, 10 seconds left. He's dribbling up the court. I could see it both ways. I understand the idea of giving the timeout so that KD can, you know, he's played 53 minutes in the game. Can you give him a breather, let him get his legs underneath him for a, you know, a game-winning shot? But I also like the idea of keeping the defense on their toes, making sure, you know, they're just coming off a possession. They've played a lot of minutes. You've got the best player on the planet right there who's shown you no signs of letting the fatigue. Yeah, I mean, listen, he's out of breath. So was Giannis. So was half the team. But he's come up with every single shot. I could see it both ways. I don't hate letting it play out, keeping the defense out there, not getting them, letting them talk about things, letting them get a break, letting them get a breather, letting them get their legs underneath them. I know what you want to do for Durant, but you know what? I'll take my chances with Durant a little winded and the rest of the defense winded. I trust the greatest player on the planet right now. And it didn't work out. He comes up short in overtime, and that'll end the Nets season. And it's misery, and I feel for every single Brooklyn Net fan out there because it is tough. That is a tough way to go on a season that you had visions of parades coming down Flatbush Avenue, which we've talked a lot about on Carton Roberts. We talked about the idea of what this parade could be like, what this championship could be like. And there was every reason to expect it, but unfortunately, you don't even make the Eastern Conference Finals, and it is a massively disappointing year for the Brooklyn Nets. But the Islanders are still alive. We got to get into them. We only have an hour and 15 tonight. You don't mind when the Game 7 goes like that. When it's a great game, you'll take your short show and be on with it because that was an incredible game to watch. It was so much fun. And then the Islander game ends in incredible fashion as well as Pulock blocks a goal in net from the former captain of the Rangers that everybody knows around here, Ryan McDonagh, does the spinorama and almost puts it in with seconds left and an empty net. But the Islanders hold off, win Game 4. Even that series at 2, that's going to be a great one, an incredible atmosphere in that building as well. So we got a lot to talk about. 877-337-6666. McMonagle here with you till 2. We got the Nets. We got the Islanders. Yankees win another game coming from behind late. Mets split a doubleheader. We got golf. Anything you want to talk about for the next hour and 15 till 2 when Danielle comes your way. 877-337-6666. McMonagle with you right here on the Fan.
It's that time of year, and as a landscaper, that can only mean one thing. It's my time to hustle. And with Metro by T-Mobile, me and my brothers now have the extra tools we need to get this gig growing. Metro gave us 4 lines of unlimited high-speed data for just...
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.